Yuma's annual agricultural summit highlights the future of farming. And a student advocates for better water policy. This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. I'm Alexandra Rangel. The Southwest Ag Summit brought Yuma's ag industry together.
Ag tech is booming. You know, there's so much explosion that we have.
With no water deal in sight and Arizona facing water cuts, a high school student from San Luis is stepping up to bring awareness about the Colorado River.
The Colorado River has sustained Arizona for generations. Now, it is our responsibility to sustain it.
Plus, Senator Ruben Gallego visits Yuma. These stories coming up on Arizona Edition.
Funding for Arizona Edition comes from listeners just like you. Your continued support allows us to bring you insightful conversations about issues and events impacting our community. Thanks to you, we are able to highlight the people and voices of Yuma and La Paz counties and encourage civil conversations around water, agriculture, healthcare, education, and much more. Please continue to tune in to Arizona Edition, and thank you for helping us keep our community informed.
This is Arizona Edition. I'm Alexandra Rangel. The Southwest Ag Summit in Yuma brings farmers and industry leaders together to talk about all things agriculture. Reporter Victor Calderon attended the summit and has more on this year's event.
It's that time of year again when multicolored tractors took over the Arizona Western College main campus in Yuma. The Southwest Ag Summit held this past week is now in its 20th year. It's a chance for agricultural industry leaders from Yuma and beyond to meet up to talk the latest in ag technology and challenges, including water and labor. Ag leaders met Wednesday and Thursday at Arizona Western College. They attended field demonstrations and breakout sessions on topics including the Colorado River and food safety. Mike Pasquinelli is president of the Yuma Fresh Vegetable Association, one of the agencies behind the summit.
Yes, it is our 20th year. We have some new vendors in our demonstration that we had on our field yesterday and Wednesday. And there's just a lot of new different equipment as technology is growing. We get new equipment and things.
What can you say about ag tech in Yuma?
Ag tech is booming. You know, there's so much explosion that we have from thinning to weeding to spray application with drones, and we're working on automation and harvesting as well.
I know there's some challenges as well, as there always are in terms of like water and labor. What can you say about those areas?
Well, on our harvest labor, we use a lot of program through the H2A program. We had a real struggle this year when the government was shut down and getting those people processed, but we made it through. Water is always going to be a challenge in the West, especially going through our drought conditions in the Colorado. And there's a new contingency plan that has to be in place by October, and so we're working on that as an industry, but it's seven different states and two countries that are through all the negotiations on that.
In closing, anything else you want our listeners to know about the Yuma Fresh Vegetable Association, maybe those who aren't in the industry?
So we're just an advocacy for our industry. You know, we keep an eye on any legislation and work with our legislators. Today, for our keynote speaker at lunch, we have Undersecretary of Agriculture from USDA. So we try to advocate for our industry all the way through to let people know how we do and our uniqueness of our area.
Ag leaders from Yuma meet here with leaders at the state and national level. Listeners may remember Paul Brierley. He used to be executive director of the University of Arizona's Yuma Center of Excellence for Desert Agriculture. Brierley is now the director for the Arizona Department of Agriculture.
You know, this is just a great place for everybody to get together. They learn stuff. They see what the latest technology is. They talk about issues. Water's going to be talked about a lot. That's a key one. But largely, it's a networking place. I mean, you're here with all facets of industry, and it's just a great chance to catch up.
So I know yesterday there were field demos, but what can you say about ACT technology as it stands currently in Yuma?
I think Yuma's leading the charge. Part of it is the broadband infrastructure that's being put in, and the wireless broadband that's going to cover all acres of farmland in Yuma County. Nowhere else in the world has that. And so what that does is brings researchers, it brings developers. And so not only can Yuma County farmers use the latest technology, but they're going to be able, not necessarily them, but the latest technology, the newest technology will be developed here. And so, the combination of having AWC and the universities here, and then the industry that's so great, and startups and everything else, ag tech is happening, and it has to, but with both the water challenges and the labor challenges, those are what's forcing technology. So.
Talking about the labor challenges, what are you hearing from Yuma folks about, what's being done to make sure that, everyone has enough workers at this time?
That's always a challenge. I've looked back at Farm Bureau newsletters from 1950s, and those were talking about water, labor, pesticides. It's just a constant challenge, but it gets more challenging every year. The workforce gets older, and people don't want to do this work, and so that's the beauty thing about technology comes in and does sort of the jobs that people don't really want to do anyways. And so there'll be other jobs at higher levels and higher technology levels, and that's kind of a different kind of workforce that's needed. But labor's a challenge, and the H-2A program is growing leaps and bounds because that's kind of the only legal way to get a workforce here. But something needs to be done to make those jobs more attainable by people.
Last week, the U.S. Department of the Interior announced it's moving forward on operating guidelines for Colorado River reservoirs by October 1st. While the seven basin states, including Arizona, have not reached full consensus on an operating framework, Interior officials say they cannot delay action. They say meeting the deadline is essential to ensure certainty and stability for the Colorado River system beyond this year. I spoke with Clint Chandler, Deputy Director of the Arizona Department of Water Resources, at the Ag Summit.
Obviously, a deadline came and went without an agreement, but we are willing to continue to talk, to continue to meet, to discuss in an effort to reach an agreement. We have put forward innovative, constructive proposals in the past. We continue to evaluate possibilities and remain at the table, so to speak. But we need a dance partner with the upper basin representatives, and but for our part, for Arizona's portion, we have been acting in good faith and seeking solutions. We'll continue to seek solutions.
The 2026 Southwest Ag Summit concluded Thursday night with the annual harvest dinner. For KAWC News in Yuma, I'm Victor Calderon.
Just as water has long been the biggest concern for growers in Arizona looking toward the future, it is also a growing issue for local communities. A high school student from San Luis is hoping to help bring about change. Education Solutions reporter Cisco Stargazer has that story.
The Colorado River supplies water to millions of people and vast agricultural areas across the Southwest, including Arizona. But the river now carries less water than it did when states divided it up a century ago. As reservoirs decline, the seven basin states were supposed to reach an agreement by February 14th on new rules for sharing mandatory water cuts post-2026. They did not. And now, the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation may step in and impose its own plan, determining how shortages are spread across the region. But on the very same week of that deadline, Arizona's capital saw one San Luis High School student advocating for better water policies. The student, Junior Figueroa, has grown concerned over declining water levels since he visited the Grand Canyon last fall for Latino Conservation Week. During that trip, he joined Rural Arizona Engagement on a whitewater rafting trip down the Colorado River, and that's inspired him to advocate for water sustainability. On Wednesday, February 11th, Figueroa traveled up to Phoenix for Environmental Day, a lobby day organized by the Sierra Club, an environmental organization. Standing outside the Capitol, he outlined what's at stake.
The Colorado River is one of the most important water resources in the American Southwest. It supplies water to nearly 40 million people across 7 states and supports more than 5 million acres of farmland. Yet since the year 2000, the river's average flow has decreased by roughly 20%, driven by prolonged drought, rising temperatures, and increasing demand. This is not only a projection, it is our current reality.
And in Figueroa's view, this issue is most relevant to Yuma County.
Yuma County's economic functions largely through agriculture. It is one of the most productive agricultural regions in the nation, particularly during the winter months, supplying 90% of the leaf greens across the United States. This productivity is made possible almost entirely by water from the Colorado River. When the river declines, Yuma declines, with consequences that reach far beyond county lines. Reduced water availability, threatened crop use, increasing production costs, and place thousands of agricultural jobs at risk.
He continued to state that farm workers, food processors, and local communities all depend on a stable agricultural system. So when water becomes uncertain, economic instability ensues. And not just that, the environment's at stake too.
As water levels drop, ecosystems suffer, wetlands dry off, wildlife habitats disappear, and soil quality declines. Rural communities face increased competition for limited groundwater, often without sufficient regulation or long-term sustainability plans. Without action, we risk not only environmental degradation, but widening inequalities between those who can afford access to water and those who cannot. This crisis demands leadership. Arizona has made progress in water management in the past, but current conditions require strong, more comprehensive policies. We can no longer rely on outdated assumptions that water supplies will recover on their own. Conservation alone is not enough without accountability, enforcement, and innovation.
And so, Figueroa offered 5 actions for legislators. The first, protect groundwater statewide.
All communities deserve protection, not just urban centers.
He then suggested investing in sustainable practices.
Second, require sustainable agriculture of water use by investing in an incentivizing advanced irrigation technologies, water-efficient crops, and soil management practices that reduce waste while maintaining productivity.
Third on his list was expanding water reuse and recycling infrastructure.
Treated wastewater should be viewed as a resource, not a liability. Increasing reuse can significantly reduce pressure on the Colorado River. The state should invest in rural communities in order to afford more advanced water treatment plants.
His next suggestion was to strengthen the state's tribal collaborations. And lastly, he called for legislators to prioritize long-term planning over short-term fixes.
The Colorado River has sustained Arizona for generations. Now, it is our responsibility to sustain it. The choices made in this building will determine whether communities like Yuma continue to thrive or are forced to adapt to preventable declines.
As he closed out his speech, Figueroa called everyone to action.
Let us choose action. Let us choose responsibility, and let us choose a future where water security is not a privilege, but is guaranteed.
Since Figueroa delivered that speech, the Colorado River Basin states have failed to agree on post-2026 shortage rules, leaving the federal government poised to set how water reductions are shared. Officials are now considering 5 possible management alternatives. But that doesn't mean the time to choose action is over. Should folks wish to follow in Figueroa's footsteps and speak their mind, the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation is currently accepting public comments now through Monday, March 2nd. Citizens can contact the Bureau through email, phone, or mail. For details, look up Colorado River Post-2026 Operations online. Select the page from usbr.gov and visit the post titled Draft Environmental Impact Statement. More details on all the ways citizens can comment are available there. For Arizona Edition, I'm Cisco Stargazer, and this reporting supported by a grant from the Arizona Local News Foundation.
Coming up after the break, we'll have more on Senator Ruben Gallego's town hall in Yuma.
Funding for Arizona Edition comes from listeners just like you. Your continued support allows us to bring you insightful conversations about issues and events impacting our community. Thanks to you, we are able to highlight the people and voices of Yuma and La Paz counties and encourage civil conversations around water, agriculture, healthcare, education, and much more. Please continue to tune in to Arizona Edition, and thank you for helping us keep our community informed.
This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. On Thursday, Senator Ruben Gallego held a town hall in San Luis, bringing community members together to talk about the issues concerning Yuma County residents. Reporter Victor Calderon spoke with Gallego about finding common ground and ICE in Arizona.
Our beloved Senator Ruben Gallego!
U.S. Senator Ruben Gallego held his first town hall in Yuma County on Thursday afternoon in San Luis. Senator Gallego had to cancel a town hall set for Yuma on September 25th for safety concerns after the September 10th assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. Gallego was in Somerton for the Tamale Festival on December 20th. On this visit, he met with city officials in Somerton and local leaders at the Greater Yuma Port Authority. He also met with students at Southwest Junior High in San Luis before the town hall at the Cesar Chavez Cultural Center. I asked Senator Gallego, a Democrat, how he works in Washington when Republicans control the White House, the Senate, and the House of Representatives, and what both sides can find common ground on.
It's exactly that. You don't fight all the time. You don't fight for the sake of fighting, right? I don't fight Trump for the sake of fighting Trump. I fight whenever it's important to the residents of Yuma and La Paz County, right? Where we find common ground. You know, for example, Representative Gosar and I introduced bills that help La Paz County set up a solar land, basically for them to actually lease solar land. You know, we're working in conjunction, Democrats and Republicans, to make sure we have a good Colorado River settlement, something that's going to be really important, especially for, you know, the river counties. Other areas that we want to work on is energy sector, right? Arizona is a big state. We need a lot of energy to keep our economy going. We need to work in a bipartisan manner to bring all types of energy here. And that's really important, especially places like Yuma, who really want to grow in terms of manufacturing, but don't have the load energy to do that. So the most important thing is to first focus on the, you know, constituents of Arizona. The politics comes second. And when it's appropriate to work with the president, we're gonna work with the president. We're gonna fight the president, then we'll fight the president. But every day I have to look at what is the best interest of Arizonans first.
I also asked Gallego about recent protests and student walkouts in Yuma and San Luis against Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. Gallego said he is keeping an eye on ICE operations in Arizona.
Look, I think ICE operations need to be like part of professional and done in a professional law enforcement way. If you look at the way that our law enforcement, our local law enforcement acts, they're professional. They can get their job done and abide by the Constitution of the United States. What we're seeing right now is not that. And I think that, you know, we can all agree that what's happening on the border was chaos, right? The fact that there were hundreds of thousands of people rushing to the border and, you know, turning themselves in and just, you know, asking for asylum and coming, you know, and essentially getting to stay here, that caused chaos. That was a bad thing that the President Biden administration allowed to do and Democrats allowed to do. But we don't want to trade the chaos at the border for now chaos at the cities, right? Let's have professional immigration enforcement. Let's deport the criminals. Let's deport the people that are causing problems in our neighborhood. Everyone else, let's give them a background check. Make them pay a fine. Make them get in the back of the line. Give them, you know, a temporary visa. And if after a couple years they prove themselves to be good residents, then we could decide what to go there. But why are we spending potentially tens of thousands of dollars to deport the person that's got a family here, that's it, the kids are in the military, they have done nothing wrong, their presence has not been a problem, and they're part of the community? That's not the best use of our taxpayer dollars. And I think it actually makes our country weaker in that way.
Junior Figueroa was one of several students from San Luis High School at the town hall. He's also involved in youth programs at the Campesinos Sin Fronteras nonprofit group.
I think it will be to inspire our community and inform them about what are the current issues in Arizona and just to calm them and just give them information about what is going on in the war.
Mariana Tovar is a teacher at Desert View Elementary School in San Luis. She asked the senator about education funding for communities like San Luis.
Yes, my message was we are having a big shortage of teachers. So this is something that is, you know, causing a lot of issues. And I know this is something that's happening around, you know, a lot of Arizona and many other states. And here in our community, it's something that impacts a lot because our students, they need those highly qualified teachers. And we also need that funding in order for us to continue to provide those resources to our students and provide all those different programs so they can continue with their education. And so right now, just the fact that we lost about 16 teachers for this year and they either left the profession or they went to California, it's just alarming. So I really wanted to voice out how we need that support and that funding in education.
For KAWC News in San Luis, I'm Victor Calderon.
Up next, we're featuring a piece from our student-run podcast, Siendo Primero, Being First, a podcast that explores what it means to be first-generation college students. This week, co-host Sahei Barcenas and Melanie Ruiz Lopez are diving into the world of scholarships, helping students just like them navigate the sometimes complicated process.
Being first gen means learning to navigate systems that were never designed with us in mind. Scholarships become more than money. They become motivation, a reminder to keep us going, not just for ourselves, but for our families, because we're walking through doors they never had the chance to reach. People say scholarships are free money, just requirements and deadlines, but there's so much more beneath that. What no one talks about is what it feels to search for scholarships when you're the first in your family to ever imagine college. It's not just filling out forms, it's wrestling with doubt. Mi Alexa Renteria Ponce, a nursing student here at AWC, knows this feeling. She didn't have a path already marked, so she had to look for a mentor to find her own story.
My mentor sat down with me and we started gathering topics about my life, like what seemed more selling and more interesting about me. We picked my grandma. My grandma has multiple medical issues, so I talked about her and why I wanted to become a nurse and why I admire her. And taking the route for nursing is for her and for helping her and others in my community.
Just like her, many of us worry that our stories aren't interesting enough.
An honest story is better than a perfect one. I think what the team of reviewers want to see is that you've had your ups and downs, but you've been able to get up. You can bounce back, try again, don't give up.
Being first gen means you're learning everything from scratch. There's a fear of not being scholarship material.
Whether you're first generation or there's been a couple of people in your family that have gone to school, that one little change, it can change that one individual's life and then it changes the whole family dynamic.
The drive to success impacts your entire community. Winning a scholarship isn't just financial. It tells you that you belong in college.
AWC staff, community members, that they all volunteer to review the scholarships. So just make sure that you're taking the time to like be authentic, be cohesive, make sure that your sentences make sense. Take the time to read.
If you're first gen, remember, you don't need to be perfect. You just need to be you. Because being first isn't a weakness, it's your greatest power. From Siendo Primero, I'm Melanie Ruiz Lopez.
For the full episode, be sure to subscribe to their podcast. You can find it on our website under podcast. Arizona Edition is a production of KAWC Colorado River Public Media. Questions or comments are welcome. Send them to az@kawc.org. You can also connect with us on Blue Sky and Facebook. Our theme music was used with permission and composed by Stephen Hennig and performed by members of the Yuma Jazz Company. More information at yumajazz.com. I'm Alexandra Rangel. This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. Thanks for listening.